What you doing?
Ran out of space on my phone, so I'm deleting some stuff. Bye, singing dog. Bye, goal.
I pronounce you.
Bye, wedding ceremony.
Stop. At Metro PCS, you get 2 free phones with twice as much memory.
Really?
Don't say bye to your memories. Switch to Metro PCS and get 2 free LG K20 Plus phones with 32 gigs when you switch 2 lines. Metro PCS. Wireless. Figured out. Coverage not available in some areas. Sales tax not included in phone price. Excludes numbers on the T-Mobile network. See store for details and terms and conditions.
You are Locked On Eagles, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia Eagles, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Good morning. I'm Teron Davenport here with another edition of Locked On Eagles. The preseason game, the opener, is in the books, and the Eagles just had their open practice yesterday, Military Appreciation Day, a great practice. Before we get into that, I want to thank our sponsors. We definitely appreciate SeatGeek for the sponsor for advertising with us, and we'll be sure to bring you more information about SeatGeek. Anytime you need tickets, be sure to go to SeatGeek. So just getting into this issue that we have out of the preseason game, Carson Wentz injury, a fractured rib. Man, that's a tough situation. It's going to keep him out of practice for a good period of time. He can't have any contact. We talked to him yesterday after practice, and he was just talking about how he needs to rest it. He wants to play, but it just hurts. You know, anytime you throw, anytime he does anything, for the most part, it hurts that rib. And anytime you hurt something in your core, whatever movement you do, it's going to be involved. The core of your body is just crucial to any type of movement. But the question that I would want to ask is, was he in there too long? Did Doug Peterson play Carson Wentz too long? And that's something I think has to be taken under consideration. Looking at how that offensive line was playing, they allowed the quarterbacks to get pressure. Man, those quarterbacks were under pressure pretty much every drop back. You look at what Carson Wentz was able to do, and they began to move the pocket, so it was very clear that they wanted to do some things to keep him out of harm's way. So they moved the pocket. They had some design rollouts, some nakeds, and this way it allowed them to have a high-low read. They flooded the zone to the side that they moved the pocket to, and just, you know, really gave him a chance to have an easy read, and if it wasn't there, then to take off. And that's what he did a couple times, and on the one he got flipped, but that wasn't the one that he got hurt on. There was a different play where he got hurt on. I think it was a big V was stuck in his stance, and the defensive end got off the ball and you know, got around the edge and gave him a hit. And it was actually, pardon me, it was a D-back, one of the defensive backs that hit him. And that hit right to the ribs, it did the damage. So now you have your number 2 pick, a guy you want to get as many reps as possible, injured and out for what could possibly be the whole preseason. So I don't know that I say that Doug Peterson was wrong in leaving Wentz out there. Maybe he could have taken him out and put McLeod Bethel Thompson in. But remember, this is Carson Wentz's opportunity to get acclimated to the NFL. Remember, there's a very good chance that he would have been deactivated for a good portion of the season. Some are saying he would have been deactivated for the whole season. But the most important person and most influential person on that decision never said that. He said a good bit of time. So we don't know how long Wentz would have been deactivated. Now, this injury will definitely change things a little bit, because now they're in a situation where the guy that they wanted to get snaps and the snaps that they wanted to get him are going to be taken away because of injury. For how they were going to bring Wentz along, this was going to be his chance to get that live game experience. Now, if he's out for the rest of the preseason, the next live experience that he would get will be during the season. And it's going to be a little tough to throw this guy right out there like that. And remember, they're trying to bring him along slowly, retool some of his mechanics. They're trying to help him digest the playbook, make his reads. And I tell you what, for a guy that has so much going on as far as mechanics being tweaked, as far as making your reads, processing the offense, he played pretty well. I mean, there were periods, don't get me wrong, where he threw behind the receivers, and I definitely said something about that. There were also periods where the ball sailed on him, and that's something that has to be noted, because this isn't the first time that the ball has sailed on him. He has to begin to follow through more. And that's not happening, and that's what's allowing the ball to sail. And you cannot, absolutely cannot have a ball sail on you when you're throwing a slant, a dig, any of those type of passes, because it will get picked off. And guess what happened? One of his passes sailed, and it got picked off. On that particular play, it looked like Paul Turner was kind of working his way through the zone, and he stopped and then started again. And I don't know if that confused Wentz, and when he threw the ball, he wasn't sure where Turner was going to be or what happened. But Wentz, after the game, said that the ball just sailed on him. Paul Turner, and man, I give that guy tons of credit, undrafted free agent. And he said that was on me. You know, when I asked him about it, I asked if the ball sailed or if he didn't get his depth or what happened. And he said, no. That was on me. I got to get my head around quicker. Hey, you got to give the guy props for that. I mean, Carson Wentz, his future is obviously set. Undrafted free agent like Paul Turner, his roster spot is not set. However, I will say Turner worked with the first team offense yesterday at the slot position. So he's definitely in good shape. They've been impressed with him, and rightfully so. This guy has done an awesome job in training camp. Catches everything. Very good. Smooth in and out of his routes. He's an ideal slot guy. So with Jordan Matthews out, he could definitely be an option. But I'm going to answer the question this way. I think Carson Wentz should have played into the fourth quarter. I would probably have taken him out at maybe the 10-minute mark, somewhere around that point. And just giving him a chance to watch the rest of the game from the side and kind of process what he was able to do. But as they say, hindsight is always 20/20. That's just the way it is. So that's pretty much it on the Carson Wentz front. He's out. He said he wants to practice. You know, he wants to play. He said he will play tomorrow if he can. But it's just a pain tolerance, and he's not cleared to play in the game. So we're going to wait for the doctors to see what happens with that. But I want to talk about something else real quick before we get into some of the defensive back play, and that's SeatGeek. And if you go to SeatGeek, there's an app, actually. Buying tickets online for sports and concert has been a confusing process for a long time. I remember using a lot of different sites to do it, and you never know what price you're going to pay once you click that buy button. It's always been hard to find the best deal for the game or show that you want to go to, and none of those older ticket sites want to change that. SeatGeek is different. They've come along and created an amazing app and website that makes it easier than ever for fans to buy and sell tickets. I tell you what, I just went on SeatGeek to get tickets for the Drake concert in next week. SeatGeek is always a place I go to look for my tickets to a game or a concert. Everything about SeatGeek is designed to make life easier for sports and music fans. SeatGeek does all the price comparison for you by searching multiple ticket sites and ensuring that you get the best deal possible. SeatGeek does all the work. You save time and money. And SeatGeek wants to help you get the most bang for your buck. That's why every ticket on SeatGeek is given a grade based on value. You'll immediately see any underpriced seats and be able to find the best deals that fit your budget. Best of all, my listeners, you guys, get a $20 rebate off of rebate. A little confusing there, saying SeatGeek over and over again. But you guys, my listeners, you're going to get a $20 rebate off of your first SeatGeek purchase. So here's what you do to get your $20 rebate on the tickets. You download the SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab, and click add a promo code. Enter the promo code LOEAGLES. That's all capitals, LOEAGLES. SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. Download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code LOEAGLES today. Ron Brooks is another guy that has been interesting in training camp. He's someone that's taken first team reps as a nickel corner. He took his reps and he got some snaps in the game. I got to talk to him a little bit after the game on Thursday, and I just wanted to talk about just relaxing, because this is a guy, you watch him at practice, all he does is bounce around. All he does is bring the energy. And sometimes at corner, you don't want to bring too much energy. You have to be patient. So check this out, this conversation with Ron Brooks. So Ron, coming out here the first time at the link in front of the fans, how is it that you're able to calm down? I mean, I watch your energy at practice. You're moving all the time. You're dancing. You're feeling the vibe. How are you able to calm down and not be over-aggressive, jumping routes and things like that?
I think it's a thing that this being my 50th, something that I've learned to control when I was younger, first couple of years. Just expending all my energy, just feeding off of the crowd and all that kind of stuff. And you got to kind of learn to tone it down and use it throughout the game, not just use it all at one time. So,
I haven't played intense college football, you know, and you, like you said, you've been in the league. You're moving inside to the slot, the nickel position, the physicality. Can you kind of touch on that and how you're able to exist within that?
It's definitely mentality. You gotta have a killer instinct, and that kind of, I'm gonna knock anything that comes in to me. You gotta have that kind of mentality. My dad and my parents, they instilled that in me at a young age playing football. So coming up and playing in the slot, it's not anything that I'm afraid of or anything that's difficult for me.
Now, playing inside, I mean, you don't have that sideline as your extra defender. Can you kind of compare and contrast? Because I know you're taking reps outside as well. Can you kind of compare and contrast the two positions?
I think being in the slot, you got to be prepared for just about anything, because you can get guys that do quick routes, and then you have guys that'll be in the slot, and they'll stretch the field just like they were out playing out the outside receiver. Mm-hmm. So I feel like in the inside, you kind of get a mixed bag of things, so you got to be prepared for anything that could happen. Corner, that's a far to throw for the quarterback. It's not easier, but it's a far to throw for the quarterback, so you kind of have time to get back to your man if something does happen in the slot. Things happen real quick, so you got to be on the stuff.
Last question, Coach Unlin. I mean, I see his energy in practice. I know you guys probably feed, you personally and him probably feed off of each other. What are some of the things you've been able to pull from Coach Unlin so far in training camp?
I know it's one of the main things is just to keep myself focused and keep myself in the game at all times, not only for me, but our whole secondary as well. You've seen the young guys get out there, C.J. Smith. Had a great game. You know, they tried to pick on him a little bit towards the end of the game, but we're doing stuff in the room where it doesn't matter if you looked as a starter or if you're a guy that's fighting for a position or if you're trying to fight to make the roster. Coaches teaching everyone and giving everybody the tools to be successful on this defense.
So that was Ron Brooks after the game. I really like the insight that he brought, and I like the fact that he's speaking like a leader. He's new to this team, but he's speaking like a leader, and he's talking up some of the guys that are fighting for roster spots and pointing out how they did a good job. And that's what you want from a leader. You want a guy that is going to give you props when you do well, a guy that's going to bring you along when you're struggling, and a guy that's going to set the example himself. And that's what Ron Brooks does. So he was a great acquisition, at least up to this point, for the Eagles. A very under-the-radar signing. I remember him coming in and his press conference, and it was quick, it was short, it was sweet, and he was out of there. And that's just the way he is. And looking at him on the field, like I said, he brings the energy. So it's great to see him do what he's doing. And we'll see how things go as the season goes along. But he's somebody that definitely have a special teams contribution as well. That's pretty much the show. I want to encourage you guys to listen to the other shows on the Locked On Sports Network. Locked On Texans, Locked On Redskins, Locked On Bucks. We are Locked On Steelers. Guess what? This is the week for the Steelers and Eagles, the second preseason game. I'll be out in Pittsburgh for that one. I am Teron Davenport. Be sure to follow me on Twitter at tdavenport_NFL. And as always, subscribe to this podcast on Audio Boom, Locked On Eagles. Be sure to check out the work, the daily work, just like this podcast, on theeagleswire.usatoday.com. Once again, we're going to shout out SeatGeek. Be sure to download the app and input the code LOEAGLES, all caps. We'll talk to you tomorrow, folks.
Is democracy in danger or decline? Condoleezza Rice, William Galston, and Carlos Gutierrez and others take on this question in the fall edition of The Catalyst, a journal of ideas from the Bush Institute. Surveys show Americans place less trust in institutions like the media and business. Others contend America has faced far more challenging periods and emerged strong. Leading policymakers, Bush Institute experts, and respected journalists take on this debate. Read about it at bushcenter.org/catalyst.